Don't forget, every single person is someone for whom Christ died, someone that Christ wants with them in eternity, and they're going to get there by you witnessing Christ's reality to them.
Dr. Joel Bierman speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's how we make a case for a Lutheran worldview. It comes into right confession, but confession is more than just what's going on in your head. It's what you're living out. It's what you're practicing. It's what you're doing. You're practicing the reality of Christ, and it shows in everything that you do, all that you do, all the time. And so, this is the way that we live our Christian lives, in faith toward God, in love toward neighbor. Luther said it well. It is the heart of our Lutheran confession.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Dr. Bierman's presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran Worldview, from this year's Making the Case conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $300, you can download an audio and video recording. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time. Maybe I think too much, but something.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We got email before us and the Issues Etc. comment line. Some email on our recent interview on COVID-19 vaccines with Dr. McCullough, an Archie Bunker comment I think Jeff made, and some hopeful thoughts about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
This email comes from Dave in Indiana. I was listening to Responding to Listener Email, episode number 2282, on my way into work on Friday morning. During the conversation among your staff, the old All in the Family show came up, and it was noted what a talent Carol O'Connor was as Archie Bunker. A comment was then made to the effect that Archie Bunker is the prototypical Trump voter. With that comment, I'm guessing you offended at least half of your listening audience. I know many devout Christians who voted for Trump and are certainly not in the mold of Archie Bunker. If you spent less time on what I consider to be self-indulgent chatter, statements like that would be less likely to come out on the air. Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening in Indiana, Dave.
We got a new, we usually call it mindless banter, but I think we can mix it up with self-indulgent chatter.
That was good.
Yeah. So I think the listener might have misheard the comment, and I think it was Jeff who actually, we were talking about Carol O'Connor, we were talking about Archie Bunker. I think what you said, Jeff, was that this is what people think the typical Trump voter is. What people think the typical Trump voter is Archie Bunker, rather than that's who they are. Is that what you were saying?
Yes, I apologize if I wasn't clear. Media elites, Beltway elites, if you voted for anyone who voted for Donald Trump, they view you as a 21st century Archie Bunker.
Yeah,
that's what I meant
saying.
To say.
Right. Not that the voters themselves were Archie Bunker.
Sounds like one of those comments that Meathead would have made.
Meathead. What's the next, Jeffy?
Well, Meathead, they like the media elites and Beltway elites love Meathead.
Yes.
I just wanted to say Meathead on the air. That was all.
Oh.
You know, a typical example, I came in the studio yesterday, I was outraged. The Washington Post had a story, and I can't find it now. The Washington Post had a story. I think I found it. Missouri preacher scolded his flock for not honoring him with luxury watch. Okay? All right. So
that's the Washington Post.
This is the Washington National Publication. A preacher scolded his flock for not honoring him with luxury watch. The Reverend Carlton Funderburk asked his parishioners, well, I don't subscribe to the Washington Post, so now I get it's covered up the subtitle.
So you immediately think, oh, it's got to be one of these big TV preachers, right?
Right. I said, there's got to be a televangelist, got a national radio show. Fortunately, the Post did take a picture of the church building, which looks like it could occupy maybe 50 people maximum. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is journalism? This is not the journalism I was taught in the 80s at the University of Missouri Columbia School of Journalism. This is find some Christian quack.
No, this is getting your news from Twitter. This is sourcing your news from Twitter. That's
a good point.
Is.
I mean, that's
he's
very well could have happened.
He's scrolling around on Twitter and he finds someone with 500 followers who has posted something about this preacher asking for a luxury watch. And he says, oh, there's my religion story for the day. It's lazy journalism, and it's sourcing your news from
Twitter. It's not lazy. It's not lazy. It's like, how could anybody in the newsroom say, what makes this dinky church in rural Missouri worthy of a story in the Washington Post with a building that looks like 50 people? I mean, are there no checks and balances in these newsrooms anymore? It's like, are you kidding me? Are you seriously? But unless you say we have to come up with a narrative to make these people look like a bunch of hypocritical, money-grabbing, stuck-in-the-mud, Archie Bunker types.
Yeah.
That's who Christians are. That's the only reason the Washington – I can't think of any other reason why that would warrant a story from the Washington Post.
Well, and I don't think they think of it as let's come up with a story to make them look that way. I think they – just think that's how middle America looks.
Right.
And look, it has everything. It's middle of the country, middle of Missouri. Missouri's a red state. It has everything. So that's what makes it newsworthy to them.
The subtitle, by the way, the Reverend Carlton Funderburk asks his church, I ain't worth your Prada. I'm not worth your Gucci. I mean, that is kind of catchy, but seriously, come on.
All right.
We can do better, can't we?
I don't know, man. I have no idea. It's not the only time we've dealt with it. Remember, Terry? It was during COVID. They had a huge thing on some guy who was, what, he was refusing one of the mandates. And from the story, it made it sound like he was some preacher of great import, and he's gathering all these hundreds of people. Then they show a picture of him under a tent. 12 people. That's not news. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, August the 23rd, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson corrected me during the break. She's right. If you look at this church that the Washington Post wrote about, so it's not a rural church. It is in Kansas City, Missouri. But note this. Looking at the picture, it looks like a former small VFW hall, right? But Kansas City is a major market. Why did the Washington Post not say Kansas City area preacher or Kansas City preacher scold his flock for not honoring with luxury watch instead of Missouri? Why?
Why?
Because Missouri to the Washington Post sounds rural. Kansas City sounds more urban, more
slightly
progressive.
More I really still don't think they would consider it a city. They probably laugh when they say Kansas City because it, for two reasons, it's not Chicago or New York, L.A. or...
It is a major Houston. Market. And I can assure you, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton won Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
The city.
Yes.
Anyway, but here's what doesn't fit their narrative. Why didn't they put a picture of the pastor and his wife, Pastors Carlton and Silverina Funderburk, instead of the picture of the building? Why do you think that is?
Why is that?
I'm just speculating. They're both African-American.
Oh. I would think that this would have probably been several reasons to torpedo the story. So I got to ask, why did it make it into the Washington Post?
I'm thinking your theory now about Twitter, that the money quote, it is a great quote. Quote, the pastor said, quote, I ain't worth your Prada. I'm not worth your Gucci. End quote. That's why. Somebody put it on Twitter and...
It's lazy journalism. It is. I have an idea. So given your outburst before the break. We expanded several years ago to include Pastor Will Wheaton doing The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, his 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study every weekday. And I'm thinking we should expand again to do a podcast hosted by Jeff called Are You Kidding Me? How many times am I sitting in my office and he comes out and my office faces right out to where Lynn sits? And Jeff comes out and starts ranting about something. And it always ends with, are you kidding me? So I think it's a really good name for a podcast. And just give him one topic a week that gets him worked up. Believe me, that is not hard to find.
That's not a daily
this
basis.
This thing produces itself. And then it's just called, are you kidding me?
But that would...
And you begin every podcast and you end every podcast by yelling, are you kidding me?
That would take care of the inter-office dynamics of LPR.
It would. We could just record you doing it.
Oh, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. You know that's dangerous.
We could just record Jeff on his daily rant and make it into a podcast. The listeners would absolutely love it. Prediction, we're going to get lots of email from people saying, when is Jeff's podcast coming out?
Are you kidding me? Rich writes, I appreciated episode 2291 on the Atlantic article regarding guns and rosaries. Toward the end of that discussion, Pastor Wilkin asked what could have been done to make this story more news-like. Terry said it could have included more facts to reflect voices other than the radical fringe on spiritual warfare. Otherwise, he said, you only have half of the story. I was reminded of episode 2211 on COVID-19 vaccines. The episode sadly presented only one view, and a controversial one at that, about vaccines not being effective or even harmful. Your listeners deserve the full story because there are folks who will now refuse COVID vaccines or other vaccines based on the biased anti-vax views of Dr. McCullough. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for listening, Rich.
Are they still offering vaccines?
You can still get COVID-19 vaccines.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, are they saying like you need your fifth booster or something like that?
I don't know.
Because I don't know that the issue of people refusing vaccines really is on the table anymore. I know you can get one, and if you haven't gotten one, you could get one. But unless, I just heard Dr. Fauci is retiring, so we're not going to have any more. That issue's gone now, I think, for good. No one's going to be talking about that. It's a no-win situation. We have done extensive interviews on the other side with an epidemiologist, virologist, a doctor with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and I believe there was one more
doctor
interview
with the Christian Medical and Dental Association.
So if you go back and it's going to be a long search because we've talked about COVID a lot, but if you go back and search vaccine, you're probably at the website issuesetc.org. You're probably going to find those interviews that we did that were generally encouraging people to, first of all, talk to their doctor and then get the vaccine. So we've extensively covered the other side of that issue. Dr. McCullough was a chance at our listeners' request to hear from someone who is not a big fan of the vaccines. And I've said before, since we have no thus saith the Lord on the vaccines, and we don't, we can present both sides of this within reason, and let the listeners decide. My advice has always been, go talk to your doctor. Don't talk to the internet. The internet does not have a medical degree. Go talk to someone who cares for your health and has an actual degree and ask them what they think about it.
What about Siri? Can I ask Siri?
Siri will not help you in this respect.
I guarantee you, if I ask Siri, should I get a COVID-19 vaccine, there will be an answer in the affirmative.
All right, let's try it. Hey, Siri, should I get a COVID-19 vaccine?
We can't hear it.
Siri refuses to answer. Siri's taken the fifth. Siri gave me, let's try it again. Hey, Siri, should I get the COVID-19 vaccine? You know, Siri is the worst personal assistant.
I was going to say, you of all people, I've seen you go off on Siri on Twitter.
Hey, Siri, should I get the COVID-19 vaccine?
Here's what I found.
I have an Indian man instead of Siri, if you've noticed that. Because I yell at Siri a lot, and I don't feel not good yelling at a woman, the typical Siri voice. So I changed it to an Indian man, because that's how good Siri is. It's as good as when you call for
tech support,
and you get shuttled to someplace in Dubai. So right. That's why I changed it to an Indian voice. It's not a racist thing. It's a thing about how bad Siri is. It brought up a bunch of websites for where I can go get the vaccine. That's what it did.
Seems to me like your Siri's shy. That's what it seems like.
Oh, no. My Siri's not shy.
I wish we had an Amazon Alexa or Google Home say, Alexa, should I get a COVID-19 vaccine? We don't have one of those in the studio. I don't think we have in this building, do we? I don't think
so. No.
Alex writes, I was encouraged by your recent reminder that many churchgoers in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America are not entirely on board with the false doctrine and woke agenda and might find refuge in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as the ELCA disintegrates. What specific steps can I as a layman take to initiate such a dialogue/siphoning? If this does come to pass, how can we as a church body prevent the refugees from bringing their heretical problems with them and ultimately debasing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Thank you kindly for your wonderful program, and thank you for the email, Alex.
Well, I think you're right to be cautious that when we find refugees from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and there are so, so few, they really are. Partly, I think it's a matter of pride. If you've stayed this long as a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, if you've made it to this point, the chances of you coming to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are not nil, but probably very low. Apart from a divine miracle of the Holy Spirit, because if you've been able to put up with what you're putting up with to this point, then it's very difficult for me to imagine why the Missouri Synod would look at all interesting to you. But it does happen. And we've spoken recently with Kerry Larson, who was a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and now is the presiding pastor of a conservative Lutheran church body that is, I believe, in fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So it does happen. Pastors will colloquize into the Missouri Synod, but it happens so, so rarely. And I think the same is true of the average parishioner. And that might have something to do with kind of pride. You've stuck it out. You know you're wrong, but you can't admit you're wrong. And to go to the Missouri Synod, that's anathema, because the Missouri Synod is backward. They're stuck in the 50s. They're fundamentalists. They're biblicists in the view of the propaganda of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And your second concern about people bringing in some of those ideas is not unwarranted, because they may want to leave for some other reason than the doctrine. But if you've put up with your pastor denying the resurrection of Christ and all of the advent of the sexual revolution and everything that's been done to your church body by this time, you're going to die there probably. And it's sad to say, very, very sad to say, that level of unrepentance is what you get after being indoctrinated for decades with liberal theology. You get that level of unrepentance.
I'm tapping into my inner Wilkins cynicism. The people who will leave the ELCA will most likely join the North American Lutheran Church, which, by the way, still allows for the ordination of women.
Right. They'll go to that little halfway house where you can kind of believe whatever you want, and they still ordain women. I don't know why we're wasting our time with them, to tell you the truth. And it's not technically a waste of time, but I think we'd be far better off reaching to other conservative, confessional Lutheran church bodies. I don't think we've given them much time in the last 12, 13 years, though. We really were before that. In the previous administration of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we were still holding out that candle that somehow we're going to get back together with the ELC. It's going to happen one of these days, golly. They'll come around, and then we'll change a few of our doctrines, and we'll meet in the middle, and it'll be great.
No, I think it's more like we just agree to disagree. We won't talk about our differences, and kumbaya.
Kumbaya. That's another. That would be another good podcast title for your kumbaya, kumbaya with Jeff Schwartz.
You know what would be a good program? Popular Lutheran summer campfire songs. Kumbaya. We are one in the spirit. We yeah. are one in the Lord. What other ones do you recall?
Pass it on.
Pass it on. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. How's it go after that? I don't remember.
Oh, and soon all those around can warm up.
It's glowing.
I'm not going to sing.
It sounds like the tune to the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
I'll bet Siri hears you sing. And you're not going to sing for us?
Siri doesn't hear me. I don't sing in the car. I listen to audiobooks in the car. So I just generally don't listen to the radio. If I listen to country music and I'm respectful enough not to try and sing along with country music musicians. We'll take a break. And when we come back, a little more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the comment line 618-223-8382.
The Lord takes all the enmity that Adam and Eve had accomplished by their disobedience to God's command and by their eating of the fruit. The Lord takes all that enmity and he says, no longer is it between us. Now it's between me and the devil and between you and the devil.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller speaking at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And here's the point. The Lord did not bring an end to the war, not yet, but the Lord says now, I'm going to war, not against you, but for you, to deliver you, and to make peace.
You can watch and listen to Pastor Wolfmiller's presentation, Making the Case for Christian Peace, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Public schools are increasingly chaotic and undermine Christian children's faith. We need to rebuild our Lutheran schools to provide a truly Christian alternative. Redeemer Classical School is rebuilding this Christ-focused education in Fort Wayne, Indiana, teaching students to wonder at God's creation and to love their neighbors. We need you to help us give children this faithful Christian education. Donations to Redeemer Classical School go directly to providing scholarships. Visit fortwayneclassical.com/give.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. A little bit later, we'll spend some time rethinking Vacation Bible School with Pastor Jason Broughton.
Verla listens in Canada. As I listen to today's topic on the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, I want you to know how similar our situation is here in Canada. My congregation is a member of Lutheran Church Canada and LCMS prior to establishing our own Canadian organization. The equivalent of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and in Canada is the ELCIC, Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada. In the 1980s, it merged LCA, Lutheran Church of America, ALC, American Lutheran Church, ELCC, Evangelical Lutheran Church Canada. Some alphabet soup going on there. Regrettably, its theology matches very closely with what you are describing as ELCA today. They so desperately need our prayers. I so enjoy the ability to listen to Issues, etc., and to feel supported by a body of fellow Lutherans that is so much larger than those of us who are Lutheran Church Canada. God bless you as you continue to present the truths of God's Word.
Well, and thank you very much. They do need our prayers. We do want that repentance, as humanly impossible as it appears to be. And it isn't sufficient for them to leave one liberal church and then go simply to another liberal church that just so happens to be slightly less liberal. That is insufficient. They need to embrace the truth. And some very few actually do. It's a matter of life and death. The people who sit in the pews and believe what they're told in these progressive and liberal churches are being lied to, and they're being led not to Christ, although Jesus maybe get mentioned a lot, but you take away what Jesus died for. When they're told, well, Jesus died for you, and you say, oh, that's nice. That's good to hear. You mean my sins? Yes, as long as the sins are defined by the culture. So the things that used to be sin, according to Scripture, are no longer sin. Suddenly, you begin to wonder why Jesus is even on the cross in the first place. What was he doing there? Which is why the theologians, sad to say, have no problem whatsoever saying he was there just to teach us a lesson. He wasn't there actually atoning for sins of any person. He was there just to demonstrate that God doesn't care about sin anyway. That God just radically forgives for no reason whatsoever. He just says, I forgive you. Jesus' death is just a demonstration that God's serious about it. This is what the theologians teach. That's not the Christ who saves. That is a false Christ that damns. So these places are, as I think Paul would have said, synagogues of Satan. They have the crosses, they have the vestments, they have everything, all the outward trappings of a church, but they are not a church. You know, it was a couple years ago that the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod finally mustered up the guts to say that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is no longer Lutheran. And maybe with a few more years, we'll have the guts to say they're no longer a church. They have abandoned the very thing that defines what the church is. They've abandoned the triune name of God. They've abandoned the basic facts of the creed. And they've abandoned a lot of other things that the Bible teaches. They've disqualified themselves. So really, to answer the first emailer, the answer here is not to say, how do we get these kind of super liberal Christians to become more conservative Christians, but let's just regard them as unbelievers. They use all the language, but we need to begin to regard them as unbelievers and as prospects for people who need, we need to start over with basic law and gospel.
I need to come up with a creative message. Actually, I just want to order the Making the Case conference.
Oh, so they just want to know about how to get the audio and video recordings of the 2022 Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. Very easy to do. If you are not an attendee, a tax-deductible gift of $300 to Issues, Etc. You can go to our website, issuesetc.org. If you need a little help walking through it, just give Lynn a call, 618-223-8385, and you can get a password and a code to get the online video and audio recordings of the 2022 Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, 618-223-8385.
Hey, this comes from yesterday's program with Pastors Whedon and Denzer. You were talking about what to say after receiving the sacrament of the altar. David says, go in peace, your sins are forgiven. Okay, but what does that say about the efficacy of the absolution? And what does it say about limiting the benefits of communion to only forgiveness? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, David.
Well, I don't think it in any way pits the absolution against the Lord's Supper. I would like the people to know that the reason that they're there at the sacrament is for the forgiveness of sins. Who's my source on that? Jesus. In Matthew's version of the words of institution, he says, for the forgiveness of sins. So I want to emphasize that they're not there for any other reason. They're not just going up there to go through the motions. They're not going up there to receive something else. They're receiving the forgiveness of sins. And I don't think we have to pit it against the other benefits of the Lord's Supper either, because with the forgiveness of sins comes all the other benefits of the Lord's Supper. And to say, go in peace, your sins are forgiven, I don't think it militates against the absolution at all.
All right. So Jim writes, you guys run a commercial during Issues, Etc., in which you play short parts of songs from throughout church history. What is the title of each of these songs? So we're going to play. We're going to play Name That Tune. Craig is going to start with one of the spots, Stop It.
Okay.
And then we'll figure out if we know what the hymn is.
Yes, yes.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
That's an easy one. Shepherd of tender youth.
She said it.
Yes.
She said it. Yeah. Okay, so that's the name of that one.
One for one.
Century.
Another easy one. Hail Thee Festival Day, right?
Great, great Easter hymn.
12th century.
This is too easy. The Advent hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. So far, it's the first words to each hymn.
We're just going to keep rolling here.
All right.
The 21st century.
Oh, this could get hard. The Steve Starkey hymn. All right, so that's a Steve Starkey. Do you know which one that is?
I have no idea. I produced that spot years and years and years ago.
There is a time for everything. There you go.
There we go.
All right, now we have the other commercial, Lord Feichninger.
The church's music from the 20th century.
Children of the Heavenly Father by Yaroslav Vida. Simple. We've only gotten one wrong so far.
Century.
That's easy. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. Jesus,
the 11th century.
The Holy Week Hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. Man, we're smart.
The 8th century.
Come Holy Spirit, Creator, blessed.
The 4th century.
What is that one? Stop, Mr. Craig. What is that one?
That is...
Savior of the Nations Come?
It's the same tune. But
same tune.
It's a different hymn.
What were the words in there? Praise the... I'm going to look this up. Praise the
no, one. Well, wait a minute. It might be Savior of the Nations Come because she said the 4th century. I think that might be Savior of the Nations
Come. Can you go back just a little bit on that? Craigie?
I think it's Savior of the Nations.
I think you're right. All right. And then, is there one more left? That's it?
All right. There we go.
The best of the...
Okay. So there you go. So we have... Yes, it was Savior. That's a Savior of the Nations come. There you go. So we... Boy, that's a good batting average. I mean, I think we were about like 7 for 8, maybe?
Yeah, and I seem to remember when I was producing those spots years and years ago, I put the last one with the final line of the hymn because it was the end of the spot, and it would kind of sound funny to start a hymn at the end of the spot. So
I just remember going through the hymnal, trying to find old ones, medieval ones, contemporary ones. Do you know that the late Yaroslav Vida, the great Lutheran hymn writer, Don Matz, at the previous host of the show, interviewed him a couple times?
Really?
Yeah, we really ought to get those. We probably have a cassette recording somewhere. We really ought to put those as encores. It's always interesting. We get more insights when you actually, rather than Will Wheaton doing a bio on somebody in the church triumphant, but they actually interview the author.
Right. I met him once. Long, long time ago, but I do not remember anything about it. It was in the Library of Concordia Seminary, and he just happened to be in there, and he was talking to someone, and I went up and introduced myself. No more listener email, right? I didn't think so. When we come back, Vacation Bible School, it's kind of the standard fare for many congregations. Pastor Jason Broughton says it's been commercialized. We'll find out what he means next. Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.